Hello, we are reading from the writings of Bala Sulam, Volume 1, Article the Ervud, page 53, item 26. You may ask questions on kab.tv.
I think that this is the most important essay from all of the writings of Kabbalah in general. Even though it doesn't seem that way, like there is none else besides him, and such conspicuous essays or the introduction to Panimi or to Mashpirot that we are now studying, and others. But this article is telling us, even though in a very kind of lukewarm, popular manner, because Bala Sulam wanted to write it this way, so that it would truly be for each and every soul. But it talks about the general law of creation, which is general, but also individual. As much as we check ourselves each time towards the law of our root, we then make mistakes. Don't make a mistake, and we advance on a direct line towards the purpose of creation. And if I stop checking myself towards Arvut, then I immediately run to the side, I fall, I don't know where I am. And again, we have to try to come back to the connection of Arvut, and then I'm certain that I'm in the right direction. And as much as I feel a deficiency for it, that I'm not there, and as much as I can make efforts against that, a prayer, integration in society, etc., then accordingly I advance. And I elevate myself from the path of Be'ito in its time to the path of Achishena, hastening. So the law of Arvut, my relation to connection, establishes, determines my whole progress, both that I will advance on the right path and also as directly as possible, and not with ups and downs, falling, getting up, rather. It will truly be... It should be, as Bala Sulam says, as though coerced by the devil, that it's only for 1 second and that's enough for me to wake up and take another step forward. And each time I fall and wake up, but this frequency should truly be up to even thousands of times throughout one day. This is why we need to feel the law of our root, the way it works in the whole of creation, and even now it is operating. Even now, we are nevertheless in a corrected system. However, as for ourselves, we cannot see it. Anyone who disqualifies is disqualifying for his own flaws. So we see the system as corrupted. We're not even aware of how corrupted it is. And therefore, to see it each time more and more corrected, that is, each time more and more entering our root, that is our work. To our issue, on a daily basis, the Arvut, the law of Arvut, is that I check myself. How much do I surrender before the society? The society receives some condition, it takes some condition on itself in order to advance. And, of course, I'm for it or against it. If it's not this way or that way, then I nevertheless reach a state of criticism, and I have to criticize myself. And then to know precisely if I'm for or against and to what extent, and until I equalize with society above my own reason, it's not considered that I'm under the law of Arvut, which means that I'm not at all in the spiritual direction. I'm not aimed towards the purpose of creation, the purpose of life. I'm not aimed towards the Creator, who is in the center of society. Therefore, here, in always checking myself how much I agree with society, agree with the teacher, with the path, with what the Kabbalists write for us. Accordingly, I always aim myself more and more precisely towards correction. And actually, this in itself is a correction. Therefore, we have to pay attention to this article, the article of Arvut, and to repeat it a few times, and then you will see how much in this article Baal HaSulam concealed such inner pieces of advice, so that only if a person relates to this condition of Arvut with subtlety, not like in a kindergarten and the teacher is telling us that we should be in nice, good society, rather how much one understands that this is an iron law of the spiritual system, accordingly one will advance. And it is especially important for us if we are before some group missions, tasks. Here we have to pay attention to how much we are for or against it, we agree with it or do not agree with it, and then this is a common work for us. I don't want to go to the desert, let's say. So the friends will pressure me if I want to go there or I don't want to, etc. And then we have to see how much this resistance against all kinds of social actions of that kind that we carry out, how much the fact that I'm against it could actually be good. Because then I overcome it with the help of society. But this way we advance. And it's not necessarily that everybody should agree with it and immediately say, yes, we see and understand that specifically the spiritual progress is on top of all of the obstacles, on top of the objections that we get. So we should not be shy about it or hide it. That I disagree, I don't want to do it, but at the same time I have to show myself and the society how much, in spite of it, I do take part and I go along with everyone. And here it's a must to bow down before everyone, otherwise one is harmful to society and harmful to himself several times over, more than he is harmful to society. So here it's a point of crisis, a point of crisis. And a person has to calculate, to scrutinize how much his own nature or his own views, his earlier views or prejudice or things that he was taught or was told, how much they are the opposite. It's very good that they are the opposite, but I am going above them. And this is the place of determination, and determination, that determination should be clear. So the law of Arvut exists within us and can exist within us each and every moment, because each time to come back to, in order to bestow above reason in the direction of the goal, to integrate in society, to subjugate oneself before it, before the ten, etc., it is all included in the law of Arvut, because the Arvut is the general name for this whole complex of conditions that we have to keep in order to be one body in the system of Adam HaRishon. Okay, is that clear? Do we have any questions? None. Oh, yes.
What does it mean to agree?
To agree? In heart and soul, I'm included in it, and I don't see that in anything, I am different than the society in my heart and soul, meaning in my view and in my feeling and in everything. And along with that, I know how much I, according to my nature, my egoistic nature, and according to what the Creator has put in me beforehand, well, through a foreign society and all kinds of things that I received, my education, foreign education, etc., earlier, how much I'm in contrast.
So I don't agree. My opinion, my understanding, my desire, everything I know, everything I was educated to, I don't agree.
Disagree with what?
I don't agree. Moti said we're doing some kind of dissemination action.
You disagree with our present direction?
I don't agree.
So, you need to work on yourself in such a way that you will agree above all of your disagreements. You don't erase them, you don't forget about them. That's the work on top of all the crimes. You need to overcome and agree. Why? Because this is the view of society. Otherwise, you're not included in it and you have no room there.
I'm asking, do I need to reach the fact that I agree, or is it enough that I do the action?
No, not just doing the action. You might say the following: I'm going to perform an action, because from this action that I will do, I will gradually reach agreement. But you need to know that you are going to agree. And if you do not agree, you have no room in society. Then you're harmful to them and they will harm you and nothing good will come out of it. Rather, bit by bit, and not at once, certainly, but the direction should be towards complete agreement, that you will look at yourself, let's say, following a few days of work, of you working on yourself, and you'll discover that you are now different, you're the opposite. Let's say you were left-wing and now you're right-wing. You were a nice, you know, a green piece, a bleeding heart, and now who are you?
Okay, help me out here. I need to work on myself or through my tent to help me to change my opinions, but I completely do not agree. I'm willing to do the action. It's killing me on the inside. But what do I need to...
As much as you're capable, you have to take part.
What do I need to play in my mind? How do I measure the change that will be in me?
Above your reason. You have a reason, a strong reason. It's very good. And now you have an opportunity to go above reason.
So what do I need to play at the back of my mind while I do the action that I completely resist?
You really, really object, and in spite of it, in spite of your strong inner view that you object to it and you hate it, you reject it, you can't even touch it and receive it, accept it. But along with that, you build a second floor, a second level above it. And you try, even though you see how much am I capable of it and how much not, to do this work. Bit by bit. They can push me. I mean, I can't touch this. Just push, please push my hand. You'll ask them, help me like this, help me like that. Even to do something physically, you can't. The true hatred is that you are only given a point from above towards this opposite direction. And all the rest, you have to get it from the environment. Where else will you take it from? So you come with your eyes shut and also shut your ears. If they're speaking things that are the opposite of what you want, shut your eyes, because you can't look at them, at your friends. You can't look at them. Why? Because they are so impressed, inspired. They're doing some work now where they're calling people, they're doing all kinds of nice things, they're disseminating, and you can't stand it. You can't. You feel that it is truly a flaw. It's harming everything that is dear to me. And then you begin to, well, you actually begin enjoying the fact that you have an opportunity to go above reason. You see, there are people who take a knife and they cut themselves, right? They actually harm themselves. What do you call that inclination in Hebrew?
Masochism.
Masochism.
A
tendency to maybe harm yourself or kill yourself. So you feel that you're doing it. But here you're doing it to your egoistic will to receive. How you're kind of slicing it, cutting it. Try it. You need to get pleasure from it. Yes, pleasure. Pleasure, yes.
Well,
let's start the Arvut now, yes? What do you want?
So, as soon one reaches a complete heart, then the resistance disappears.
That's the problem. If you have a complete heart, it's not really worth it. Yes, it's true. Specifically, those who resist and go above reason, they break through.
That I understand, but the process is still that you do reach it at some point.
If you will go in the right way, even though you agree 100%, you will start to feel how many problems you have. But problems won't be ideological, but other problems, how to keep it, how to fix it, correct it. So nevertheless, you will have resistance against the guide, against the society to some extent. You will have those places of friction. You will have them. If you don't have them at all, it's a sign that you need to rise to a higher degree.
Thank God there is that. But let's say one passes it, and if one works correctly, so if he does so, he reaches a complete heart, and then the resistance does disappear.
The resistance disappears, and then you have a problem.
A new one.
What to do without resistance? What does it say about it? That they agree and there's no resistance, and then what do you do? That's not a good situation. It's like it is swallowed up in or covered with chassadim, and there's no work then. We will work on it. So, item 26, right?
Bala Sulam, volume 1, page 26, page 53, item 26. Bear in mind that these matters are evident to every educated person in the invitation that the Creator has sent to Israel through Moses prior to the reception of the Torah. It is as is written, "Now, if you surely listen to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be a sgula, virtue, unto me from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you will say to the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded them, had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord had said we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people unto the Lord. These words do not seem fit to fit their role, since common sense dictates that if one offers one's friend to do some work and wants him to agree, he should give him an example of the nature of the work and its reward. Only then can the receiver examine it, whether to decline or to accept. But here, in these two verses, we seem to find neither an example of the work nor its reward. Because he says, if you surely listen to my voice and keep my covenant, and he does not interpret the voice or the covenant and to what they apply. And then he says, then you will be a segula unto me from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. It is not clear whether he commands us to labor to be a segula from among all peoples, or whether this is a promise of benefit for us. We must also understand the connection to the words, for all the earth is mine. All three interpreters, Unculus, Yonatan ben Uziel, and the Jerusalem Talmud, find it difficult to interpret these words. As in the case with all the interpreters, Rashi, Rambam, Rashbam, etc. Even the Evan Ezra says in the name of Rabbi Marinos that the word for means although. He interprets, then you will be a segula unto me from among all peoples, although all the earth is mine. Evan Ezra himself tends to agree with it, but the interpretation does not coincide with our sages, who said that for serves for four meanings, either, lest, but, and that. And he even adds a fifth interpretation, although. And then the writing ends, and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Here too, it is not self-evident if this is a mitzvah, a commandment, and one must exert in this, or a promise or benefit. Also, the words a kingdom of priests are not repeated or explained anywhere in the Bible. The important thing here is to determine the difference between a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. For, by the ordinary meaning of priesthood, it is one with sanctity. And it is therefore obvious that a kingdom where all are priests is a holy nation. So the words holy nation seem redundant.
In the end, he only wants to show us one simple thing. He kind of goes through some roundabout way because of the audience he's writing to, but he wants to say something simple. If we keep the condition of our wood in the connection between us, by that we keep the entire Torah. And we truly reach the degree of the priests, which means that this is the highest degree in the Dvekut, adhesion, between us and with the Creator. Yes?
Otkav Zayin. Ulam alpi kol otam. Item 27. However, by all that we have explained from the beginning of the essay until now, we learn the true meanings of the words as their roles should be, to resemble a negotiation of offer and consent. This means that with these words, he really does offer them the whole form and content of the work in Torah and Mitzvot, and its worthwhile reward. The work in Torah and Mitzvot is expressed in the words, and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests means that all of you, from the youngest to the oldest, will be as priests, just as the priests have no land or any corporeal professions, since the Creator is their lot. So will the entire nation be organized so that the whole earth...
If they will keep the condition of Arvut...
The entire nation will be organized, everything will be dedicated to the Creator. And no person should have any other engagement in it but to observe the mitzvot of the Creator and satisfy the needs of his fellow person, so his friend will lack none of his wishes.
He will keep all the mitzvot.
So that no person will need to have any worry about himself. In this way, even a secular work, such as harvesting, sowing, etc., are considered to be precisely like the work with the sacrifices that the priests perform in the temple.
Because he's doing it only in order to revive his soul, and all the rest is in order to provide others.
How is it different if I observe the mitzvah of making sacrifices to the Creator, which is a mitzvah to do, or if I observe the mitzvah to do, love your friend as yourself? It follows that he who harvests his field in order to feed his fellow person is the same as one who sacrifices to the Creator. Moreover, it makes sense that the mitzvah, love your friend as yourself, is more important than one who makes the sacrifice, as we've shown in items 14 and 15. Indeed, this is not the end of the matter. For the whole of the Torah and the mitzvot were given for the sole purpose of cleansing Israel, which is the cleansing of the body, after which he will be granted the true reward of adhesion with him, which is the purpose of creation. That reward is expressed in the words, a holy nation. As through the Dvikut with him, we've become holy, as it is written, you will be holy to the Lord your God, for I, the Lord your God, who sanctifies you, am holy. And you see that the words, the kingdom of priests, express the complete form of the work on the axis of love your friend as yourself, meaning kingdom, that is all priests, that the Creator is their possession, and they have no self-possession of all of the mundane possessions. We must admit that this is the only definition through which we can understand the words, the kingdom of priests, for you cannot interpret it with regards to the sacrifice on the altar, since this cannot be said about the whole nation, for who would be making the sacrifices? Also, with regard to taking the gifts of the priesthood, who would be the givers? And also, to interpret the holiness of the priests, it has already been said, a holy nation. Therefore, this must certainly mean that it is only the Creator is their domain, that they lack any material possession for themselves, meaning the full measure of the words, love that your friend as yourself, which encompasses the whole of the Torah. And the words, a holy nation, express the full form of the reward, which is Dvikut.
One who reaches Dvikut is called a holy nation. So, it turns out that all of these symbols that we talk about in the temple are just symbols relative to all of the actions that a person performs in his daily, each and every day towards others, by which he connects with others, feeding others, taking care of the others, truly connecting with him, with the other into one system, actually through simple corporeal actions. This is actually the work of the temple, the work of on the soul in the true, pure manner. Any questions?
Oh.
Please.
The problem here, he writes, how can you bring kingdom of priests because you won't be able to interpret it in sacrificing on the altar, since it cannot be said about the whole nation, etc.
Yes, the works of the temple were just given to us as an example. But in truth, the true work is not in the temple. It's about each one working in order to keep, to sustain the general system and be in Arvut. That's it. And the works in the temple are just symbols for that. That's what he wants to say. The whole temple is worth nothing if you do not keep the actions that are in the connection between the people in the nation as the simple works, everyday works. If you don't keep those, the temple is also broken. It burns, it's ruined. If you will be able to reach the right relations among the nation, within the nation, then you will feel that this actually reaches the form called the temple. So we don't need to build some structure there in Jerusalem or somewhere. There's no value to that. My house shall be called the house of prayer to all of the nations, speaks about the connection between people. This is the soul that we, between us, reconstruct, restore from the shattering, and then there we discover the complete Naran Chai, who is the creator.
What is a priest, actually?
A Kohen, priest?
Who is that priest? What are his qualities?
Each one, anyone who reaches the maximal possible point in adhesion with the Creator.
So a priest and adhesion is our synonyms?
Adhesion towards the Creator, Dvekut. We have Kachab, Keter Chochma, Bina. So there, one who is rewarded with those forms of Dvekut is called Kohen, Levi, Israel.
Eventually, everyone needs to be a priest, or not everyone?
Yes, everyone.
From small to adult?
Yes.
Because according to what he writes here, then who...
But that's a kingdom of priests.
That's what I asked you in the beginning. He says, who are the sacrifices, and who are those who give the gifts of the priests?
Everything together, in each and every person. Yes, each and every person. Oh, I have Uri, yes?
So I wanted to understand something. We're talking about Aravut, I'm in the 10, and I think that what they're doing doesn't suit me, like to come to a meeting or whatever. Or I'm doing an action that the 10 decided not to do, and I want to do it, so I do it, you know, my daily life.
Wait a minute, is that considered that you're doing it inside of the 10? Physically you're in the 10, but actually you're outside of the 10, and also what you're doing physically is you're doing the opposite of it.
Right.
So what do you mean by...
So the question is, to reach this state of Aravut, do I need to make the efforts myself alone, or can the 10 influence me on the topic?
That's something else. If you ask of them if they feel towards you that you are their friend, a friend of theirs, certainly there's mutual influence here, but I'm not talking about how the correction is done. The correction should be that in the 10, everyone is aimed towards one goal through internal and external actions of all kinds until they reach one man in one heart.
So if the 10 interferes in that, they're not disturbing me, is it better that they disturb me? How does it work? I need to make an effort myself. How does it work?
No. There's no such thing that the 10 is hindering you. There's no such thing, no. You can say, no, leave me alone, I'll do it by myself. That is not good. That is not good.
So how do these two forces work? That it's both the 10 helping me, but also I need to exert together with that? And what if I don't feel like listening to my 10 at all?
So slap yourself and then listen to them. What else do you want? Or just get out. Is the 10 compelled to help me? Do they have to help me? Yes, if you're in the 10 and they feel that you're one of them, then they must help you. Could there be a moment when they tell me, look, you're not okay, you're not suitable for us because you're not doing what we are telling you? If you resist vehemently their help as well in any form, then they must give up on you. They must. just like you have to take some foreign mass, foreign body out of the body. So don't they take my work if they do this for me? We're talking about the work. You told you talked to Erez a moment ago. You said talked about the work he needs to do. Don't they take it the moment that they kind of interfere? No. It's still considered that you are doing it. Whatever the ten does, it's considered that if one is rewarded, then his work is done by others, or there's something like that. Okay. Do we have anyone like him? Anyone else with questions? Ilya from Peter is asking about which needs of the friends do we have to keep, being in corporeal arvut with him or spiritual one? I don't distinguish between corporeal and spiritual. I don't know. We need to keep to make sure the friend is aimed towards the goal and he's with us in heart and soul, period. The way we are, so should he be. Sergei from Moscow is asking, what is the difference between a holy nation and a nation, people? Goy Kadosh, a holy nation, is one who is awarded with adhesion. Goy means nation. To say Goy or Am nation, it's the same. This is how it is, by definition. However, a nation that reaches a degree of sanctity is then called a holy nation. What is the word goy versus am in Hebrew? What does it emphasize? That it used to be the opposite. It used to be in order to receive the opposite of the degree of adhesion. And now he has reached adhesion. He acquired sanctity in order to bestow. This is why he's called a holy nation. George from Belgium is asking, what does it mean to sacrifice? Sacrifice means that you take the will to receive and you bring it to be sacrificed. So you will use it in order to bestow. That's a great sacrifice. Imagine to yourself all the desires in which I want to receive, and this is how I was born, this is how I grew up and everything. Now I need to do the opposite of it. It is truly sacrifice. Hakrava in Hebrew, also from the word karov, nearby, close, meaning that I annul my desires to receive from their ordinary usage. Okay? Is that it? That is clear. Only once, right? Now. Okay.
Lama bitui aor bakli.
Why is the expression of the light in the kli only through Malchut, which connects to the upper nine? Why?
How else can Malchut correct itself? Only to the extent that it annuls before the first nine. Well, first of all, there has to be annulment. It's called the Tzimtzum, restriction of Malchut. And then, as much as it can support with its Oviyut, the first nine. She in herself has nothing besides that intensity, the Oviyut, the coarseness. With her coarseness, as much as she can express herself in the first nine, support them, activate them, by that, we get the light, the burning in all of the first nine. That is the work of Malchut. But besides that, Malchut has nothing. Only to be under restriction with Masach and Ochozer, and to give herself above reason. Above herself. Yes?
Is this as a result of the law that there is no light less than 10 Sfirot?
Well, that, of course. Because less than 10 Sfirot, if the light appears, and maybe it appears, but we can't feel it, it doesn't work on us, it doesn't invite any response in us.
Thank you very much.
He's asking nicely. Yes, David?
Yes.
He writes here that in the words Kingdom of Priests express the complete form of the work on the axis of love your friend as yourself.
Meaning this is the work of the priests, that you aim yourself to reach love your friend as yourself. That's it. Don't think about the work of the priests in the temple, that they're burning sheep there and cows. You see, this is the work. Rather, the fact that is expressed by burning meat, we'll talk about that. But first, let's get used to the true form of the priests, inverting their will to receive to in order to bestow.
So he continues and he says, meaning a kingdom that is all priests, that the Creator is their possession and they have no self-possession of all of the mundane possessions.
Yes. In order to bestow, I have nothing if I'm already in that. So you have Israel, the Levites, and the Kohen, the priests. Nehi Chabad Chagat. If I reach that degree already, then I have nothing for myself. Nothing is left. I used all of my coarseness that I had. I have revealed all of my reserves, my entire box of desires.
So as long as there is coarseness, it means that I have a corporeal will to receive?
Yes, that you have something, and you want to have it, you want to do more and more, unless I reach the end of correction, Maltikun, that's something else. Maybe there's great sorrow in reaching Gmar Tikkun. If you want to work, then through work you can prove your love and everything, and suddenly you don't have it. Then you just remain there, like shocked. I mean, what's happening there? We don't know. But it says that then the Creator gives them wings, right? You have that? As if there is more, but for the time being, let's realize that. Okay. Okay. Yes, Dudi.
He writes that he who harvests in order to feed others, it is similar to one who sacrifices to the Creator.
Yes, for sure.
So it doesn't matter what action.
It's more important than you doing it directly for the Creator. Love your friend as yourself comes before love the Lord your God. But from the love of people to the love of the Creator is not because the love of the Creator is more important. No, rather the love of the Creator comes to the extent that you actualize the love of people. It is because it comes to you from the upper light and it fills up your corrected vessels. It turns out that all of our work, as much as we may disagree with it, but it is actually in that I fill up people. And that should become clear now in the world. And out of that, we will see how much we are obligated for it, and also we are the opposite of everyone, of that.
What you looked for is from Baal HaShem Shamati, item 100, the Torah of the written and the oral Torah. In place of concealment, it is called concealment because in the time of concealment there is resistance. And then is the place of work. And that is the meaning of the article of the sages. 6,000 years is concealment, meaning that when the concealment is distracted and there is no longer work, the Creator, He gives him wings, which is a matter of coverings in order for him to have work to do.
Well, we don't know what it is, but let's wait until we have this problem. I was told that I should... Who has questions in the word Kli?
French.
Yes. It is not clear what In the text, it seems clear that there are some people who work on the land and people who do sacrifices. So two questions. Sacrifices, is it related to Tzimtzum? And you say that it's all inside one person, but why is it so clear in the text that it is different persons?
Every person is a small world included of many. And he has Cohen, Levi, Israel, nations, animals, fish. He has everything within a person himself. And there is nothing that exists that is outside of a person. That's why we speak this way. We call all different kinds of work that the person has to do. We name them based on foreign people and different professions and different states. But it all belongs to a single person that needs to act on all of these roles. Minsk.
Rav, I wanted to kind of focus it.
Go on.
I need to show that above my resistance, I'm going towards connection. Otherwise, it is harmful. And if it's not according to my qualities, usually I try to avoid conflicts and things like that. So should I still do it?
So you're even happier that you're going against your qualities, because then it's clear that you're correcting yourself. And if you don't feel resistance, then here you need to see, are you doing things correctly? Because every single spiritual step that you will take, it has to be against laziness, against resistance, on account of your personality, against your habits. It has to be that way. Has to be.
How should I show it to the ten?
I don't think there is really the matter of showing it to the ten. To the ten, you'll show these things simply. Let's say, I know that I need to come at a certain time to the lesson, to record something or other things that I have to do. And this is very severe if I run late. From my side, that is, not if there's something that, that comes up that I have to deal with. But that's how it is. These are external things. You need to show how you are going with everyone. The internal things, you don't have to reveal.
Oh,
we have Spain.
Bakasha.
Go ahead.
Buenos días, Raf.
Buenos días.
Hello, Rav.
Entiendo que la decena permite que esta se convierta en una nación santa y por lo tanto que haga un ascenso espiritual a esa segunda planta. Pero ¿quién asciende? ¿El individuo o la decena al completo?
Can you please repeat the question part by part?
Decía que el arbut permite que la decena se convierta en una nación santa.
The arbut
hace que podamos ascender como decena espiritualmente. Podamos subir a la segunda planta. Pero ¿quién sube? ¿Quién asciende espiritualmente? ¿El individuo o la decena al completo?
Inversar la guía de Dalga al Bab.
Is it possible to reach the state of Arvut as a ten or only by as one?
You cannot reach any spiritual degree if not through the ten. You cannot. It is only within the ten that we can reach it. That's clear, right? Good. Okay, we have no more questions. Almata.
Good morning, Rav. Thank you very much for allowing us to ask. At the very beginning, we get the conclusion that if in the ten everything is calm, everybody loves each other, then it's as if the Creator is turning his back to us. And when we have all kinds of objections and stormy waters, stormy scrutinies, then the Creator is actually giving us work, and we're on a path of proximity. How does it work?
Right, that's exactly how it works. You said it correctly. I have nothing to add. All that love the Creator, all that the Creator that loves, will be he reproaches. Right, write it down. It's good.
Florida, Ken. Alto Rido Gvotsotim Shiloto.
Leave the groups with a question mark. Hi.
You said in the beginning of the lesson we have to feel this law of Arvut. And I was in Israel a few years ago riding on the bus, and one of the friends was angry, and he's, I'm not feeling the Arvut. And it made me jump up, you know, it was beautiful. It made me jump up, run to the front of the bus and read something, you know. So I want to know what it means to feel this law of Arvut.
It's
each one according to their development. There are people that can feel it after a year or two or three or five, and there are others that feel it after 20 years, and even after 30, and even after 40 years, like that. It depends on the intensity of the soul, the intensity of the place that it's in the system of Adam HaRishon. We can't make any calculations here. We simply need to try and help each and every one just as the law of Arvut compels us to. That's it. But we need to take into account that this law of Arvut will again be revealed to us, and you'll see that it will be very difficult. You too will speak against this law. And there will be those like you that will run to the front of the bus to talk about Arvut and how warm it is, like you then did. And there's this and there's that. That's how we include ourselves with one another. But there isn't a person that doesn't hate this condition of Arvut. There is nothing that we need to hate other than that. That I'll be integrated with everyone, that I'll be below everyone, I'll be the lowest, and everyone's right, and I need to accept against my nature all of their status, their authority, and to help them. This is in... Not that I'm learning some book and I'm ready, theoretically, to be in that state. And then I jump in front of everyone in the bus and I start explaining about Arvut, how beautiful it is. But when it really comes, you know, touches my own flesh, then it's not easy. You know that a little bit. You're not a redhead for a reason.
New York.
Thank you, Rav. About this state where a person hates the Arvut, and really the most he can do is to let him cut his ego. Let him just like feel like he's cutting his ego. And he knows he has to go above reason in the state, but he feels that he can't. The most he can do is just try to enjoy the suffering in a way that the friends are great. And he is not able to hold the Arvut. How does one action of faith above reason?
How can he go above reason?
Again,
imagine a state that you really, really, really want to keep something. And now you were reminded that this thing is not good, that it's pulling you from taking a step forward towards adhesion with the Creator. And how do you do that? So you need to reach connection with your environment that will give you strength. That the Creator, through the environment, will give you strength. That you'll be able to rise above your desire that's pulling you aside from the path. And that you'll receive strength and you'll go forward with the path. You'll advance. So imagine how you would do it. You need to do actions here that are above your own reason, that are against your desire. How do you do it? Here is the exact existence of the law of Arvut. Talk about it and you'll see. You'll see how it's possible. Where are we?
We are in item 28. Now we fully understand the previous words, for he says, now if you surely listen to my voice and keep my covenant, meaning make a covenant on what I'm telling you here, to be my sgula, virtue, from among all peoples. This means that you will be my sgula, and sparks of purification and cleansing of the body will pass through you unto all the peoples and the nations of the world. For all the nations of the world are not yet ready for it, and at any rate, I need one nation to start with now. So it will be as a sgula for all of the nations. For this reason he ends, for all the earth is mine, meaning all the peoples of the earth belong to me as do you, and are destined to adhere to me. But now, while they are still incapable of performing that task, I need a virtuous people. If you agree to be the remedy, sgula, for all the nations, I command you to be unto me a kingdom of priests, which is the love of others in its final form of love your friend as yourself, which is the axis or the axis of all the Torah and mitzvot. And a holy nation is the reward in its final form of dvekut with him, which includes all the rewards that can even be conceived. These are the words of our sages in clarifying the ending. These are the words which you will say to the children of Israel. They made the precision, these are the words, no more and no less. This is perplexing. How can you say that Moses would add or take away from the words of the Creator to the point that the Creator had to warn him about it? We find no such example in the whole of the Torah. On the contrary, the Torah says about him, for he is the trusted one in all my house.
Shilot.
Questions.
Yes, Yochai.
Yes, Yochai.
Teacher, let's say that you have objection, it's like a black hole, you can't even hear about this action, let's say.
Wonderful.
So you need to reach a state where only your relation to the Creator and from the Creator is what determines?
Yes, of course.
Is it okay to be in such a state?
Yes, of course, that only the Creator, because He exists, because He set up this path for me and my personality and all my friends that I hate and all this world that's going to doom. So that's the work He set up for me, that I need to reach love for them, that specifically through my will to receive I see these things that are opposite, and if I will be in a will to bestow, then I'll see how everything is good and pleasant, and the whole world was created for me, through which if I adhere to Him, through giving Him everything, by that I find adhesion with the Creator. Yes?
Okay. Fine. But teacher, there are things that I know that I'm still incapable of justifying.
Okay.
So the right approach is that I say, I know that right now I can't. To justify, to understand, I don't have that.
To the extent that I'm able to, I cling to that. I'm able to do it until here, and then I'll try a little more.
No, but if these are all kinds of things related to necessity, unrelated to dissemination action, that's okay. But necessity, I put it on the side and I try to ignore it because I know I can't hold on. If I get into that, I'll just, you know.
If you say that it's necessity, then you need to take care of it.
I take care of them, but I can't justify it.
We don't talk about necessity. We don't give up on that, and we don't talk about it. You have to have your own sustenance. If you don't have bread, there's no Torah. After you have bread, then you can have Torah.
No, I have flour, bread, but we always have problems with this flour. Sometimes I'm capable of holding on, sometimes I can't. So I know that right now I can't. I put it on the side, I try to ignore it, and I just take care of what I can. Is that the right approach?
Yes.
Or? And last thing,
yes.
Teacher, about dissemination, there's a topic that would you like us to kind of strike, you know? Is there something that you'd really like people to hear about a certain topic, or?
That we have Gilad Shadmon, he's responsible for dissemination.
No, teacher, dissemination on the internet, or what would you like people, you know, what topic would you like people to know about?
Only towards the convention, because with that we're cleaning all the loose ends, we're seeing how to advance the individual 10, the general 10, the whole world is a single 10. We need to see this perspective, how we're working from the internal point of the heart to a 10, from a 10 to all the 10s, and from all the 10s to humanity.
And I need to translate it to people on the outside, so, you know, can't talk about 10s.
For people external, that's not for now.
No, let's say a topic that you think is relevant right now.
The most relevant topic now for Israel is connection. There is nothing more. Connection above all differences. Left, right, doesn't matter who or what. Connection above everything. That is what we need. But they hate one another. They reject one another. Right. And specifically for all sins, love will cover it. Connection needs to be above all of it. Not to be little kids that only know how either to love or to hate. To have this value, this appreciation, this value of connection that's above differences, it's above each and every one of us. There is something higher. That's it. There is something higher. That is connection. And we, with respect to that connection, we bow down to it. We annul everything for this connection. And then we'll start seeing that all of these collisions, this resistance, it all comes especially in order for us to raise this concept of connection even higher. Asia.
No.
Go on.
Shalom Rav, Shalom Rav, Shalom Rav.
Hello Rav. I have the following question. In the lesson, we have many friends who are really working strongly internally. They go from many states. And I wanted to ask, what do we have to keep? Where should I put my head, my intention? Because really we go through, we seem to be flying so quickly, and the states go by so quickly. So what precisely should we...
I can't say this. Study together. Together and to study because we need to fulfill ourselves in all different discernments from the study. And alongside with that, to be together. So study in the group is the correct remedy. There's nothing more I can recommend, Hoter. Mac VG.
Can we reach our vut only through hatred?
It's natural that hatred is revealed as an expression of the will to receive. I will rule. I want my own, and that's why everything that's opposite, that hatred is revealed. Maybe not hatred like we can imagine it, but from the smallest degrees until the state that I can't stand it. BBUK.
Lo shomim.
We can't hear you.
Lo. Lenatek oto.
Nope, we can't hear. Mac VG. We had that.
Yes?
Можно?
No.
Можно дать еще? По статье, что значит не добавит...
According to the article, what does it mean not to add or not to take away from the words of the Creator?
That we will learn. It's not easy. It's a very, very complex topic and a large and rich one. Hebrew
10.
Okay, in Hebrew.
Ken. Lo shomim.
Yes, we don't hear you.
We can't hear
you. Okay. Delete and moving on. Item 29.
Yes, moving on, item 29. Now we can fully understand that concerning the form of work in its last manner, as explained in the words, a kingdom of priests, which is a final definition of love your friend as yourself, it was indeed conceivable for Moses to restrain himself and refrain from disclosing the full manner of the work all at once. For fear that Israel would not want to detach themselves from all material possessions and give all their fortune and assets to the Creator, as instructed by the words, a kingdom of priests. It is much like Maimonides wrote that women and children must not be told the manner of the clean work, which must be in order not to be rewarded, and wait until they grow, become wise, and have the courage to execute it. Therefore, the Creator gave him the above warning, no less, but offered them the true nature of the work in all of its sublimity, expressed in the words, a kingdom of priests.
Meaning we have to reach a complete state of bestowal, that there is no other work, but only that degree is ahead of us, in front of every single one and all of us together. A kingdom of priests, meaning everything in order to bestow with a complete state of Ravut between us and to the world. Yes?
Regarding the reward that is defined in the words a holy nation, it was possible for Moses to contemplate, interpreting and elaborating further about the pleasantness and the sublime subtleness that comes with Dvekut with him, in order to persuade them to accept this extreme, to completely detach themselves from any worldly possessions, as do priests. Hence he was warned, no more, but be vague and do not explain the whole reward, including and included in the words, a holy nation. The reason for this is that had he told them about the wondrous things in the essence of the reward, they would necessarily use and assume his work in order to obtain that wonderful reward for themselves. This would be considered working for themselves, for self-love. That, in turn, would falsify the whole purpose. Thus, we see that regarding the form of the work expressed in the words, a kingdom of priests, he was told no less. And about the unclear measure of the reward, expressed in the words, a holy nation, he was told no more.
We will learn about that. There are such things here that we'll know later on. It can weaken us greatly if we will know this final point here. All right, questions? The article is slightly clearer. At least you see that it's not some kind of simple, nice stroll in the park and being good kids. Yes.
Rav, what does he mean by love of others in its final form and the depiction of this work in its final form? What is that final form regarding this?
In all of your vessels. Okay? We're done with that? Yes.
Giuseppe from Italy is asking, what can I truly do in order to increase the feeling of Arvut in the Ten?
We are still in such qualities that I, that when something awakens, it is me who awakens. Then I need to calculate the 10, it's in the 10, it's in Aravut, it's in adhesion, in connection, I'm less than everyone. I still am not awakening in a way that I'm included from them. And that is what the work needs to be done for. I want, every time, I need to reach The state that I scrutinize my kli every time anew, a little more, a little more, a little more, that awakens in me. Meaning when a broken part awakens in me, but I need to get myself used to very quickly to what's being clarified in me, that it's actually me included in some kind of broken part. How do I very quickly bring it to connection with everyone? And again, to additional connection with everyone, an additional connection, to constantly, constantly do that. Meaning that I'll have I'll have some automation. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. That I constantly scrutinize the vessels and find a way how to combine my detached state to a connected state.
No.
All right.
He keeps adding and asking, how can I make sure that the friends in the ten are directed, aimed towards the Creator?
I need to be certain that I'm doing a good job, and I need to warm them up, to give them an example. All right. Okay. Yes, Cohen.
How can I bless the Creator for the separation between us? I disagree that I disagree with my friends.
Yes.
How can I bless?
It's
as if I'm disagreeing with the Creator. But the Creator gave us this separation so that we can work.
I don't know. Talk in English.
Well, how to... I don't agree with this separation. But it comes from the Creator, so I bless it. I have to bless it and thank for it. But it's like not a good... How can you be grateful and in wholeness with the Creator and still offer a chisaron? A chisaron is from a place of not agreeing.
But lack of agreement together with a goal that you're connected with, your lack of agreement with a goal that you agree with them in your mind and heart, that gap gives you flavor, gives you taste, that you will be in complete agreement. That's disgusting. There's nothing there. Being in complete lack of agreement, that too is darkness. It's also repulsive. But this gap between the initial state and the state you've reached, this gap gives you the intensity of the feeling of what it means to be a creator, the extent you adhere to Him. We, as created beings, we can feel only, we cannot only feel good or bad. We can't feel just pure darkness or pure light. We can only differentiate one upon the other. So there is part of the path that we feel darkness and a little bit of light upon that darkness. Then we move on to a part, a different part, which is part of the path, that we feel light, and upon the light we scrutinize to an extent the darkness. So once it's darkness upon which there is light, and when it's light upon which there is darkness. Yes.
So I need to agree with the separation that I received. But
the distance between my view and my friend's view.
Yes.
This is the precise measurement that I need to overcome with faith.
It's not a problem that you are in this distance. No, it's not a problem. The problem is that you you'll stay in that feeling, in that gap. But what do you want to unify with? Where is your heart? You can say, this is my will to receive. Listen, this is my will to receive. I don't agree with it, and I'm distant from it, etc. But I want to be adhered. Where is my heart? That is what's important. My heart is in the East, as it's called.
Yesterday I was reading Shemati Lamed Dalet, and the prophet of a land is Banglit, Lo Yode Bivrit. I receive the hatred for separation all the time. But how to love the hatred of separation?
Why to love hatred? You need to love that discernment, meaning the upper light that gives you the feeling that you hate separation, and not separation itself.
Thank you very much.
Okay, friends, all this is nice and good, but let's... What else do we have?
Either preface or faith in the Rav.
Is what you sent yesterday? This is new?
Uh-huh.
This or Pticha? Maybe first Pticha, and then we'll do that later. So Pticha, please.
Okay, so we'll move on to the next part of the lesson, and first we will sing together.
שכל איש ידע שבו יש נר שדולק ואין נרו שלו כנר חברו צריך שכל איש יבין שעליו לעמול ולגלות את אור הנר ברבים להעיר לבבות רק ניצוץ לא ידליק את אור האהבה אבל יחד יהיה לכם קומה של קדושה רק בינינו נדליק את אור האהבה לשלבת גדולה שכל איש ידע שבו יש נר שדולן ונרו שלו כנר חברו צריך שכל איש יבין שעליו לעמול ולגלות את אור הנר ברבים רק ניצוץ לא ידליק את אור האהבה אבל יחד תהיה לכם קומה של קדושה רק בינינו נדליק את אור האהבה לשלבת גדולה רק ניצוץ לא ידליק